Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So today I felt from the Lord, initially I was going to bring a word on offense, which I'm still going to touch on a little bit, but standing in my kitchen listening to a podcast on Tuesday, the Lord redirected me when I heard, I was just listening to a podcast, kind of half listening to it, kind of half washing dishes, and I heard the word disappointments, and it's like I had a very like physical reaction to it, and I felt the Lord, from the Lord, to speak on where do we go with our disappointments. Is that okay? Okay. So, you know, when I was researching, you know, it's amazing what you find on Google, but I saw a lot of 5 steps to get over your disappointments. 5 steps to get free from disappointments. Maybe not 5, maybe there were 3, whatever. But if you have experienced deep disappointment in your life, I know I have, we know that it's not a linear process. And the thing with disappointments is, they can attach themselves to a myriad of situations. It's not just one. We can feel disappointed due to the death of a loved one, a failed relationship, being betrayed by someone, unmet expectations, or you're disappointed with yourself. Another way to describe disappointments is a state of high emotions that stem from a failure, perceived or actual, or someone failing us. And the thing with disappointments is that it doesn't stand alone. It's joined with lots of different emotions and states of being, like grief, resentment, bitterness, depression, anger, frustration, and offense. Pardon me. So if someone has been betrayed, it's not just the betrayal itself. That's actually the tip of the iceberg. It's the grieving process of what was, the breaking of trust. It marks a person's life, in that they can find it hard to trust others in the future. That's why some say ignorance is bliss. I'd rather not know. I don't know about that. Disappointment is so complex. And so in many ways, it brings us great comfort to know that there's a 5-step plan that would alleviate the pain of disappointment and the hard emotions and processes that come with it. And you know, we're in good company if we've experienced disappointment, because there are so many people in the Bible where they were in a state of disappointment and they all responded differently. So if you look in Genesis 16, we know the story of Sarai or Sarah. She was deeply disappointed after waiting for 10 years on the promise of God that Abraham would be the father of many nations. She made a devastating decision that brought more pain to everyone involved, but mostly herself. Proverbs 13:12 tells us that the pain of hope deferred makes the heart sick. The longer a person goes without seeing their hope realized, the more likely they become discouraged. And that was Sarah or Sarai's story. In Samuel 1, we know the story of Hannah was deeply disappointed and grieved because she hadn't had any children. And not only that, she had to live with her husband's other wife, Penina, I don't know how to say it, provoking her, the word says, grievously to irritate her. Hannah's response was to bring her distress to the Lord and weep bitterly in prayer. In Kings 19, after he had defeated the prophets of Baal, Elijah heard that Jezebel had made a vow to kill him. And Elijah was discouraged, disappointed, and depressed because he thought he was the only prophet left. Turns out he was completely exhausted, and Elijah's response was to receive God's ministry to him, which involved rest, eating, and sleep, which we can all use more of. Amen. In John 11, Mary and Martha were in deep sorrow and disappointment when their brother Lazarus had died. They were also angry and confused at why Jesus hadn't come sooner. And they let Jesus know exactly how they felt too. Disappointments are a real part of our lives. And if we haven't been disappointed yet, it will happen. If someone hasn't disappointed us yet, it probably will happen. And it's inevitable for the mere fact that we're all human. And disappointments stem from unmet expectations. So The question Sarai might have asked is, why hasn't the promise come to pass for me yet? For Hannah, why has God not answered my prayer? For Elijah, why did this happen to me? Why am I the only one? For Mary and Martha, why did God not come? Why did God not intervene? And I think we all have questions when we go through disappointments. They might not be those ones, but other questions. We might walk through life feeling if we don't have any expectations, you won't be disappointed. We've all seen the memes, you know? We might try to shield ourselves from pain. We might try to bypass the process. And the thing is with disappointment, if it's left unaddressed, it can lead to things such as resentment and offense. And in these states, we feel stuck and unable to move forward. And I want to say, there are some situations that cause us to feel disappointed, take offense or even resentment about that could be completely valid. Things that have happened to us that we did not consent to, things out of our control, things that we had no hand in, things that are unjust. Or they could be things that we perceive, a narrative we have, you know, told ourselves. We do those, I do those. You know, the famous, like, when you see the dots when someone's writing back and then you're like, and they're taking forever. You're like, oh, what are they going to say? Have I upset them? You know, there are all these things that can lead us to make assumptions. Wherever we sit, I really believe that the Lord wants to speak to us about these things today. Because this is a major life issue and one that no one here, including me, is immune to. Is that okay?
Good.
Okay. So let's think of disappointment, resentment, offense as our bodies being stuck in thick mud. Has anyone ever been stuck in like a bog or a... Yeah, okay, Ruby and Kim at the back. Is it easy to get out of? No. All right. It's really hard to get out of. And then when you get out of it and you tried to walk on the mud, you just slip over. Or we can think of them as a deep hole or well. It's really hard to pull ourselves up out of those places. And you know, an important thing to add is that these things can become a foothold in our lives. We know in Ephesians 6:12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the evil in the heavenly places." Sometimes it's not about the people, but if we open a door, it can become a foothold if we don't resolve it. So disappointments can lead to offense. Disappointment in a person is one of the situations I probably have heard about the most and dealt with the most in my life, but they can be about all sorts of things. So a bit of Greek words for your morning. So in the New Testament, there are two words for the word offense, scandalizo and scandalon. Which word do you think that we get out of these words? Scandal, yeah. So scandalizo means to set a stumbling block or to cause to stumble. Scandalon, it means a trap or a snare, any person which is entrapped or drawn into error. Another definition I read is to put into effect a cause and effect relationship, or to put in a cause and effect relationship into motion. So you can clearly see that these words describe the perfect storm of someone who offends and then the person who's offended. Okay, so here's what the Bible says about offense in Proverbs 18, 19 to 21. Come up on the screen behind me, or you can look it up in your Bible. It says, "A brother offended is more unyielding than a strong city, and quarreling is like the bars of a castle. From the fruit of a man's mouth, his stomach is satisfied. He is satisfied by the yield of his lips. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." You know, sometimes all it takes is one word, one action, one decision, one look that can have disastrous effects on someone. You know, like we read, life and death, the power of life and death, sorry, the death and life are in the power of the tongue. And once that offense is there and no action is taken to repair it, It's so hard to break down those walls of offense. And the truth is, we will all be offended at some point in our lives. Have we all heard "no offense, but"? Has anyone ever heard that? I recently heard it twice in a row, like "no offense, no offense, but." So that was, yeah, double the offense, exactly. And, you know, but sometimes as well, we can go through seasons where we may be vulnerable to being easily offended. So this can happen when our disappointments stem from entitlement, which is like someone who's in that state might ask themselves, why did that person get that? I deserve insert the thing more than them. And a sense that God owes us something. It's important to understand about offense that the offense is the event, okay? What can happen is from one end, we can choose not to repair or humble ourselves. And on the other end, we can choose to be offended or live offended. So there are choices we make once the event happens. We could also live offended with God because of something that he, you know, that someone did to us, or maybe he didn't answer our prayers in the way we thought he would or what we were expecting. So there's so much more to say about offense, but I'll leave it there. Disappointments and offense can also lead to resentment. So resentment can be defined as an unresolved feeling of anger or displeasure about something or someone unfair. And so resentment and bitterness are closely connected. So it's a buildup of emotion like anger, frustration that stem from disappointment over a long period of time or when someone or something has disappointed us over and over again. Resentment also comes out in unhelpful ways. Like science says that when we feel resentment or we're harboring, you know, things like offense, it affects our health, like our blood pressure and our immune response. But in another way, it affects everything and everyone around us because we might take our pain out on others. So it's easier to offload pain sometimes than it is to deal with our pain. But it comes out one way or another. That's what I've learned in my life, personally. And David could probably testify to that. Resentment looks like a hardened heart, a person who isolates themselves, and it's anger that's not easily quenched. And so there are many examples of resentment, again, from the Bible, such as Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, Leah and Rachel in Genesis 29, and Job's wife in Job 2. Remember when she said, curse God and die. So there's a very important question that we have to ask ourselves today. Where do we go with our disappointments? Is everyone okay? Okay. There is a place where we can go. We will always be heard. Where we'll be convicted. Remember, we know it's the kindness of God that calls us to repentance, but we'll be given grace. God's grace does not condemn, it convicts. Grace draws us closer, it doesn't turn us away. So where can we go with our disappointments? We can go to the feet of Jesus. Pardon me, I'm just going to get some water. I was screaming during worship, so that's the effects of that. So good worship. It's really important that we know that we can't get through our disappointments by shoving it down or by bypassing the process. It is going to be messy and hard, which is not nice. We don't like messy and hard. And this is a very important point because I think the first place we need to go with the Lord is grieving or lament. Some of us need to enter into a place of lament. Maybe some of us have been there and that's good, but if you don't know what lament is, it's to wail, moan, cry, sob, to offer a complaint, often expressed in anger or confusion to the Lord. There is a whole book of lament in the Bible, Lamentations, and out of 150 Psalms, 64 are laments of some sort. Pardon me. So we're going to read one, Psalms 80, 4-7. O Lord, God of hosts, how long will you be angry with your people's prayers? You have fed them with the bread of tears. Wow. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. You make us an object of contention for our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine that we may be saved. Wow. And there are countless like that that you can read. 64. And you know, the Lord invites us in this process of lament. He doesn't shy away from it. You know, in Jeremiah 12, it's literally called Jeremiah's complaint. And you know what's amazing about this chapter is the Lord answers him. He doesn't scold him for being honest. He loves our vulnerability and that we can approach him, not playing pretend. We can't get over our disappointments, but we can work through our disappointments. We can move through them. It's a process. And we don't like this word. I don't like this word. Most of my life has been a process. It's not pretty, but it's the process through. And it's an important place to pass through, not stay in. So when we talk about lament. Lament really, really well. Super well. Like wail, sob, do all the things. But it's a place to pass through, not stay in. This is a place where we meet God honestly and vulnerably. But if you need to go on a journey, talk to someone in your life who is trustworthy and has fruit in their area, in their life in this area. So this is very important because too often we talk about our disappointments with someone who doesn't maybe have a spiritual maturity to point us back to Jesus, to point us back to the Word, and then it can quickly venture into gossip, which takes us further down the dark hole, further in the mud. And you know, Hebrews 12:15 in the Amplified says, exercise foresight and be on the watch to look after one another, to see that no one falls back from and fails to secure God's grace, his unmerited favor and spiritual blessing, in order that no root of resentment, rancor, bitterness, or hatred shoots forth and causes trouble and bitter torment, and the many become contaminated and defiled by it. It's very, very important. So, and there's also things like counseling and Zozo ministry. We have so many beautiful things at our disposal. Is everyone okay? Okay, good. So we're going to read through Psalm 30 because I feel like there's so much in this psalm that the Lord wants to speak to us about. So we're going to read it all. I think it's going to come on the screen up behind me. It says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths, and you did not let my enemies gloat over me. Lord, my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. You, Lord, brought me up from the realm of the dead and spared me from going down to the pit. Sing the praises of the Lord, all you faithful people. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. And we know this one, weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, you favored me. When you favored me, you made my royal mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What is gained if I am silent? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. We know the stories. David had been through it, been through a lot. And you know, remember how we talked about disappointment, resentment, and offense as a deep well or a deep hole? David actually alludes to being in that place in this psalm. And he describes it as a place where the Lord lifted him out of that place, because only the Lord can lift us out of such a place. If it means like lasting change, if it means, you know, moving through. because it's really difficult to lift ourselves up out of those places. So King David, he called, he cried, he wept to the Lord for help, and God answered. You know, I was telling Dave this week, Pastor Dave, that I always read this verse, weeping may last for the night, but rejoicing or joy comes in the morning. And I was like, yeah, but no, if you read it literally. It's not like, oh, I'm sad or I'm depressed or last night, but joy comes in the morning and everything's okay. It actually, there's a couple of commentators that I read that put it so beautifully. McLaren puts it this way. Joy is literally a joyful shout raised by the voice that had been breaking into audible weeping. Or Charles Spurgeon puts it this way, weeping may endure for a night, but nights are not forever. Wow. It's a process. Yeah? Yeah? In verses 8 to 10, King David talks about his prayer, his lament to the Lord. When we go through disappointments, we are very tempted to isolate ourselves from God. But it's so important we stay close. So important. Because this is the thing, in the process of lament, it actually brings us closer to Jesus. And I want to propose this afternoon, now I said this morning, but this afternoon, that this is the process is where we powerfully encounter Jesus. And then we live like him, we sound like him, and we live like him more. It's an opportunity to be more like Jesus. It doesn't make it prettier, it doesn't make it any easier, because the hard situation is still hard. Yeah, it doesn't make it any easier. But there's something so beautiful when we know that we encounter compassion in the eyes of the Father. And when we go back to Psalm 35, we see weeping and pain in the life of Jesus. You see Gethsemane. Right? Anguish. Lord, if there's any other way. And then we see the morning of his resurrection. We have a high priest who is both omnipotent and compassionate. And in 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 to 4, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. Who is then more trustworthy than Jesus? Who is then more compassionate than Jesus? No one. And this is the thing, this is the heart of God. God wants to take the weight of these things out of our lives and uproot them out of our hearts so we can experience freedom and all of the fruits of the Spirit. And, you know, we know Galatians 5, 22 to 23, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and against such thing there is no law. When we are in suffering, harboring resentment, offense, disappointed, there is something so much better, beyond better. Because there's a supernatural phenomenon that occurs even in the deepest disappointments when we stay close to the Lord, and it's joy. John Piper describes joy beautifully. It's a feeling in our souls produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. It's a completely supernatural thing. We have no explanation for how or why it happens, except that it's God. It's when we come to Jesus with our disappointment, he sees us. He comforts us, he ministers to us, and releases his joy into our hearts. The Holy Spirit produces himself in our lives. And we know, I've been hearing this for years and years and years since I was a young believer, joy isn't dependent on the circumstances of our lives, but it's a gift and a fruit of the Spirit. It's confounding, it's perplexing, It's befuddling. It makes no sense to our human mind. And two things can be true. Like I said before, we can still be going through the difficult thing, whatever that is, finding it hard to lay down whatever we're dealing with, and we can experience the joy of the Lord. In Psalm 30:11, David states that God turned his wailing into dancing and that God removed his sackcloth. So sackcloth is the garment people used to wear when they're in times of mourning and grieving. But he removed that, the Lord removed that and clothed him with joy. David started at wailing, lament. He started there. He started mourning in sackcloth. This is his starting point. Then God turned it into dancing and clothed him with joy. We cannot skip to the joy without acknowledging the pain, but it's possible for us to move through it. And so it's a difficult thing, disappointment, offense, resentment, because it deals with our hearts. And once something takes root in our hearts, it's very difficult to uproot it in our own strength. We can't uproot it. We can try. I mean, we can, you know, go to counseling, do all the right thing, go to counseling, go to Zozo Ministry, read the word. But there is a moment where we lay it down, when we surrender it. And the Lord is such a gentleman, he's so gentle that he will not take it. He will not just come in. He wants us to know who he is. And a lot of this process is knowing who he is. If we know that he's a good father, we'll run. We'll run to the Father. But if we are unsure, it's going to be very difficult for us to surrender to someone that we don't know or trust. And so I believe the Lord wants to minister to people today. And I heard him say something to me. He said, you know, as humans, we can hold on to our disappointments, our resentment, our offense, and that's completely our choice. But if you let go of it, we can hold on to him and he will walk through it with us. I'm going to invite the band to come to join me. You know, the Lord wants to minister to people in a space of lament and grieving, but also impart his joy today if we're willing to surrender the things. And like I said, some of it's valid, but I feel like the Lord wants us to search our hearts this morning. What's in here? What's in our hearts that we need to surrender and ask him to uproot? Maybe you need to let go of that disappointment or offense or resentment today. Maybe you need to forgive someone. Forgiveness is a big part of this. And we all know it's not about letting that person get away with it, but it's more about letting it go so it doesn't affect you, because we can be in our own prisons, a making of our own prisons when it comes to forgiveness. Maybe you need to let God back in. Maybe you need to let a person back in. Maybe you listened to the sermon and thought to yourself, I think I'm exempt from this at this point in my life. And that may be the truth, and that's awesome. However, it does us good to ask the Lord to search our hearts. And I feel like we should be in that posture continuously of, Lord, search my heart. See if there be any grievous way in it, in me. You know, I've done this in the past where the Lord has shown me that I'm not over something that happened. I thought I was over it, but I'm still harboring a residue of a situation. And you know, recently, or this year, the last couple of years, there have been so many times where I could have chosen to be offended from something. And for a moment, for some days, it kind of like lingered and it bothered me. But I saw the choice clearly put before me of one is a rabbit hole. And it's like can be a never-ending rabbit hole. And the other one is freedom. And I don't know about you, but I choose freedom. So I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads this morning.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.